Here's a news flash.
Surprise, surprise.
Well, look at you.
The whole world is watching for my next move.
Oh my God.
Times have changed. There are no rules.
You're gonna love it.
Hello and welcome to Skip Intro, the podcast from Binge, all about the world's best television. Each week we're here to discuss the biggest new shows on Binge, along with our dinner party recommendations. My name is John Bolam, here with Ali Herbert-Burns, and together we look after all the great TV and movies that you see on Binge. Ali, this week we've got a doco and a thriller to talk about.
So the documentary is about Kanye West. So it is, yeah, quite the expose and a really interesting look at this. It comes from the UK. And then we've got another, we're doing a British connection. There's always a thread, isn't there?
Yeah.
And we've got The House Across the Street, which is a four-part crime thriller from Channel 5 in the UK.
Yeah.
And our dinner party recommendations. Those things that we tell our friends to watch on Binge when we're having dinner with them in the real world.
But first, let's head to the US in search of Kanye West.
He thought they'd never do it.
Today, Adidas joined the long list of companies cutting ties with Ye.
It follows controversial remarks made by rapper Kanye West.
Do you want to talk about anything, Kanye?
But one tweet, they can take the most influential black person in the world and run him to the ground.
BBC journalist Mabeen Azar heads to the US in search for answers to the rise and fall of Kanye West. Talking to some of his closest former colleagues and advisors, this Louis Theroux-style investigation is made all the more compelling by the talented host and his passionate quest for Ye. Ali, how much did you know about Kanye going into this?
I know a lot about Kanye West. I've seen him in concert back in the day in the 2000s and the noughties. I've watched Keeping Up the Kardashians, so obviously I know a bit about him through that lens and have just followed his story in pop culture in the last few years, especially with the American presidential campaigns and various different things. I found this really interesting, the way it puts it together and in a really, as you say, really informative and punchy kind of one-off documentary, just over an hour, really, really does a great job at painting a picture of this man.
Obviously, he's a very complicated man. He's an incredibly acclaimed artist. But as you said, over the last few years, between politics and mental health and personal life and things, it seems like, and the host of this kind of points this out, he keeps kind of slowly crossing a line. And there was always that point of like, when is he going to cross a line that's actually too much? And yeah. There's actually this great news clip that they use where Kanye West says something along the lines of, oh, I could say something anti-Semitic and Adidas wouldn't drop me. And then it cuts to like a news anchor being like, well, they just did. It turns out Kanye like didn't own the designs or anything. He just owned the name. So Adidas have now just like sold it all off as under a different brand name and he didn't get any of the remaining money. Okay. But he created these billion-dollar fashion businesses. He got in bed with huge brands like Gap and Adidas. And it was at this point where I think the sort of tipping point was him wearing this like White Lives Matter shirt at a Paris Fashion Week where people actually started cutting ties with him, whether like his publicists and record label and eventually Adidas, which was kind of the big final domino piece to fall. Radio stations stopped playing his music and all this kind of stuff. But then after that happened, he just went fully in on it. Once he didn't have this appearance or image of still being slightly acceptable, once he was like past that final point, he just went, I don't say this lightly, but like full crazy. Like he was talking about how Hitler had good ideas and like hanging out with white nationalists and hanging out with Trump. And yeah, it's like the descent after this sort of Adidas deal fell over is kind of where this documentary picks up and looks at the incredibly anti-Semitic things that he said, where he's lent into these conspiracy theories about Jewish people, about, you know, who controls the world, about slavery not being real, like just some of the most offensive things a person can say, he has now come out and said.
But he's also, like, he's still got a lot of followers. So part of the concern, and this is what's interesting about the documentary, is where you're kind of pushing him, or he's emboldened by the fans that he still has who will still listen and believe to what he has. So I know he's kind of been cancelled by a lot of mainstream media. We maybe don't get the coverage of him that we used to, but he's still got a popular base and a big group of fans, doesn't he? Like, there's a lot of people that still believe and follow him.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think this isn't the first time and it won't be the last time that we see this contradiction of people trying to like separate the art from the artist kind of thing, where it's like a lot of people still love Kanye West music. A lot of people still love Yeezys. And there are some people who are happy to still engage with all that. And there are other people who want absolutely nothing to do with it. And I think some of the more interesting scenes in this documentary are when Mabeen, at one scene, he goes to like a big sort of cool sneaker store in LA and he talks to the people running it. And they're like, the first five shoes we sold this morning were secondhand Yeezys. Like there's people still spending thousands of dollars on this. And then a scene that I found really compelling, the Holocaust Museum, after the comments that Kanye West made, invited him to, you know, come to the museum and learn more about the Holocaust, because clearly he's badly misinformed about what happened. And he did not accept that invitation. But the host of this documentary does go to the museum and talk to them. And something that really stuck with me is when he was talking to the curator of the museum, she actually said that there's this whole generation of people who their first interaction with what anti-Semitism is or what the Holocaust is through Kanye West. So if you're a young person who's grown up loving Kanye West, the first time you hear about anti-Semitism or the Holocaust might be through this guy you love called Kanye West. And it's now like, how is this version of events spreading? They drew this line between he was obviously such a successful businessman and artist, and that's why people loved Yeezys and Adidas wanted to do deals with them. And now the fear is he's having the same success spreading hate, effectively. You know, he's not selling sneakers anymore, but he's now selling this like ideology, which is terrifying. So yeah, it's,
and he wants to run for president. He said he wants to run for president in 24. I don't think he's registered yet.
Yeah, he's,
and last time he didn't get his registrations done in every state.
Yeah,
but he's so volatile. I remember one of the times in America in the run-up to that election, he was doing a speech and he got up, and he was still married at the time to Kim Kardashian, and he said some very private information about them and, you know, spoke out about abortions and kind of claimed that Kim wanted their first child North aborted, and just things that you can imagine the impact on her hearing that, or however it might be. It doesn't seem to have boundaries either with people in his personal life or his sponsors. Like, he's just pure in how he acts, doesn't he? He's talked a lot about his mental health. He was diagnosed with bipolar a few years ago, as I understand it. He's an interesting artist as well, because he's not, I mean, his music was just so popular and his sound was so unique, and the way he kind of came into the music scene in the 2000s and the noughties and stuff. But like, he's not a normal rapper background or like a hip hop star that's kind of come up through the streets. Like, his professional parents, very middle class American upbringing, you know, wasn't underprivileged, or, you know what I mean? He's very close to his mother, who actually died having
surgery,
liposuction or something, or surgery, plastic surgery. So like, he's got a different upbringing, I suppose, to a lot of other hip hop stars.
Not that the documentary tries to sort of justify any of his behavior, because obviously it's terrible, but they do also obviously talk about his mental health, which he has been very public about. So it's not one of those things where, you know, we might like look at a, you know, Trump or someone and be like, oh, you know, like diagnose him from afar kind of thing. He's obviously been very open about bipolar and his mental health issues. But Mabeen actually talks to someone else who has bipolar and actually sort of came up at the same time as Kanye, through Def Jam poetry and other things. And they sort of were in the same world at the same time. And something that she said that I found really interesting was that when you have bipolar, you have like really high highs and really low lows. And at some point you like start to lose friends and you start to lose your job and all these things happen, which is obviously really sad for people who have that. But the point that she made, which I thought was really interesting, was because of his success and his fans and his wealth, he's never sort of come up against the rock bottom or the things that might make you seek out help or change or anything, because he's just always had people around him doing whatever he wants. So he's this man who has this condition, but there's no sort of guardrails or anything to make him change his behavior.
And his more manic points might be when he's at his most creative as well. You know, so it's a very complicated,
like, that's the kind of the classic thing of mental health and creativity. But yeah, and there's also sort of the suggestion that the right wing is sort of taking advantage of him, because obviously he's spouting out their talking points for a lot of things, you know, especially in the US around abortion and stuff like that. But it's like, are they taking advantage of someone who's, you know, effectively dealing with a very serious mental health issue?
Well, this is a compelling watch, isn't it? I mean, if you're not a fan of his music, or you don't know much about him, or you know him like I do through pop culture headlines. Like I learn a lot. And like you said, it's been very well done and researched and really liked the way in. Highly recommend it.
Yeah. And just for a complete sort of change of subject briefly, Mabee Nazar is an excellent presenter. Like I said, it's quite a Louis Theroux style. You're going through these conversations and stories with him. So it's really compelling watch. But what I discovered this morning is we've got another documentary from him on Binge, which I didn't realize he actually presented. But if you're a fan of true crime, he presents this true crime series called Santa Claus the Serial Killer. And it's actually about this very sad string of murders that happened in Canada around the gay community. So yeah, if you like this guy and his presenting style, I would also check out this true crime series. And The Trouble with Kanye is streaming for you right now on Binge.
There is an attention seeking going on.
Words have consequences.
What he said is deplorable.
Are you worried you ruined your legacy, Kanye?
Shirley Henderson stars in the compelling new UK drama, The House Across the Street. This sinister suburban thriller follows a neighborhood thrown together when a child goes missing and nothing is quite as it seems.
What's going on?
This poor little Emily. She's gone.
Emily is out there waiting for us to find her. We're not giving up.
I used to think they had everything. Perfect family, perfect house. Not anymore, I guess.
You had a lock of Emily's hair. I saw it.
Ali, this is a classic British four-parter. And, you know, we've all seen children go missing in these shows before, but
it's a
kind of recurring theme. But what I found interesting was the like way in and lens for this is not the parents. It's not the murderer or whatever happens. It's kind of this like lonely neighbor.
Yeah. It's almost a lady, a very lonely single mother who's looks like is recently divorced. Her husband left her when she was recovering from breast cancer, and her son spends 1 week with her and 1 week with his father. So she's quite a quietly spoken, very kind woman, but
it's a little creepy, right?
Creepy, yeah. But yeah, the community come together and rally around the family, you know, dropping food over and holding vigils and combining in their disdain for the media that's come into the street. And ironically, that sense of community that comes during this awful time, she really enjoys because she's so lonely. So I think you're right. What makes this show different is it's told through her point of view and you're not really following the crime. That's not the core plot. The core plot really is about this woman. The whole time I just kept finding through this, is she becoming a stalker? Is she somehow involved? Because her behavior is so not the norm of what you see.
Yeah, like I've not seen a character like this on TV before. Part of it is her voice, but
it's almost sparrow-like, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know, I just think in a more traditional show, you would be following the detective or you'd be following the mother trying to hunt down what's happened. And I just think it's so interesting that they've made this character around this obviously very lonely woman who at least briefly, and I think she even sort of awkwardly says it at one point, like this kind of almost gives her a bit of purpose in her life. Like she's raising money and she's out in the forest looking for it. And because I think that a journalist asks her, like, are you scared for your children's safety or something? And she's like, oh, I just don't want it to be over. It's a really weird thing to say about your street being sort of terrorized. But that's kind of what makes it so interesting and compelling, is because this isn't what normally happens on these kind of shows.
You'll also recognize Shirley Henderson, who plays the lead character that we've talked about from so many British movies. She's Bridget Jones's best friend or one of her friends in Bridget Jones's Diary. She's in Trainspotting. She's been in lots of different things, really familiar face. So the Brits are good at this stuff, aren't they? That kind of knotty, twisty, super digestible. So with all four episodes on Binge, you can really binge them and get stuck into them all at once. It's the kind of thing you put on a Sunday afternoon and you'll get through four episodes in no time. But there's an Australian connection. Melbourne-based TV writer Julia Sandler is also involved. She has written on Wentworth and A Place to Call Home, both on Binge, but also known for her crime chops as well. She's done Savage River and Glitch and a few other things. So a bit of an Aussie connection to this British drama too.
And, you know, we can't speak about a British show without plugging a few of our faves. There's obviously a bunch of these, like you said, very digestible, usually, you know, shorter at least compared to the US dramas, 4, 6, 8 sort of series.
Yeah, they're good at doing 4s and 6s, yeah, aren't they?
And the other nice thing is they're usually self-contained. They're usually just meant to be one series. They're sort of mini-series. Mm-hmm. Only a few weeks ago, we talked about 15 Love. We spoke about Dilltown Murders. We've just even put up classic Midsummer Murders on binge. Deadwater Fell, The Diplomat, Beyond Paradise. Yeah. Happy Valley, of course, iconic. We've got a huge array of British, not only dramas, but comedies and entertainment. And they're all sort of conveniently housed for you in the Great British Telly collection on the front page. So
good job.
If you love this stuff, you'll be set for weeks.
Months.
Years. Well, we've got EastEnders and Coronation Street, so literally years. You'll be set for years.
Yeah, years and years. Years and years.
What is she doing here? This has nothing to do with you.
I have no idea what you're doing there.
I know about the girl at your school. This proves it.
Proves what?
You saw Emily the day she went missing.
Is there anything else you want to ask me?
All I want is the truth.
Okie dokie. Well, from House Across the Street to Trouble with Kanye, and I know you just told us about a little Best of British, but what is your dinner party recommendation this week, John?
So, Ali, I've got a little pop quiz for you.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
So, I don't know why I'm slowly revealing to you what my dinner party recommendation is, but, you know.
Game show, John. Okay.
Do you know which friend recently celebrated a birthday?
I do, because we put a really funny post up on TikTok and it got viewed by like a gazillion people around the world. Lisa Kudrow has just turned 60, which I cannot believe, yeah. Which means we're all getting older.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's not friends I wanted to talk about. Which we do have on binge, so
we do every episode. So many people don't know that they come to binge to watch the big new shiny thing, and they don't even realize that we have some of the most classic comedy of all time: The Office, Parks and Rec, Friends. Shall I keep going? Veep,
Friends, Big Bang Theory, Friends: The Reunion.
Yes, yeah. We have The Reunion. Anyway, sorry, Lisa Kudrow's birthday. Yes.
Yeah. So, do you know what her sort of like follow-up show to Friends was?
Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Close, although that's iconic. The thing that I'm recommending is, just cut to the chase.
Put them out of their misery, yeah.
The thing that I'm recommending is Lisa Kudrow's 2-season HBO comedy, The Comeback.
This is my comeback.
Is this a cute sitcom? Does it have a shot?
Oh, it's a wonderful script. It's 4 sexy singles living in a condo.
Are you in the wet t-shirt contest scene, Ben?
No, we're your roommates.
Wow.
No one was buying you living with these kids. So now it's 2 young girls and 2 young guys, and you're the aunt.
All right, so now I'm the aunt?
Aunt Sassy.
Oh, I should have guessed that. Yeah. I went straight to the others. Okay.
So there are 2 seasons of this. It was created by Lisa Kudrow and Michael Patrick King, who's currently working on it just like that. Very prolific writer, director, creator. But The Comeback came out in 2005. Season 1 mm-hmm. came out in 2005.
When did Friends finish? 2001 or something?
Yeah, early 2000s, okay. I think.
Because Romy and Michelle was mid-Friends as well.
Yeah.
That wasn't a spin-off, was it? Okay. Yeah.
Should have been a spin-off. Iconic. So yeah, The Comeback... only 2 seasons, so you can get through it pretty quickly. Interestingly, season 1 was in 2005. Season 2 was not till 2014. So there was a 9-year gap. It's very meta. The show is very meta, which obviously I love. And she's playing a sort of B-list sitcom actress who found fame in this old sitcom and is now doing a comeback to try to like revitalize her career. You've got Lisa Kudrow playing this sitcom star. And because it's 2005, this was like peak early reality TV where like everyone was getting a reality show, like Osbourne's Newlyweds kind of style. So it's presented as a reality show of a sitcom star trying to have their comeback. So it's a parody of reality television. It's a parody of like...
It was ahead of its time.
Yeah, it's a parody of just sitcoms in general, but it's also this like satire of Hollywood, like you're following her going on auditions and like her celebrity friends who won't talk to her anymore because she's not on TV and all that kind of stuff. So it's great sort of fun showbiz stuff. And then season 2, which like I said, takes our place 9 years later, is even more meta because it is now about the same actress who's just come off a like a HBO drama about her time on a sitcom. So it's like TV shows within TV shows within TV shows. But if you love Lisa if you love Lisa Kudrow, it's like it's also laugh out loud. Like this is a real comedy. It's not a sort of a dramedy. It's there's gags and jokes and it's very amusing, but it's presented through that sort of mockumentary style. So yeah, it's really easy watch. Lisa Kudrow is obviously amazing. And yeah, there's two seasons of The Comeback for you to watch. And maybe in like, you know, 2028 or something, we'll get a season three. But highly recommend if you're after a little cult
what
HBO.
What made you find that the other day just because it was her birthday?
Yeah, just thinking about Lisa Kudrow and realized I hadn't revisited this in a very long time. So
I really appreciate that you really take the dinner party recommendation hidden gem thing seriously, because you do kick up so many good things in this. Whereas I just use it for things I want to talk about in television, which is where I'm going to next.
Okay. Tonight.
Number one, Colin from Accounts is a big
Logie Award winning.
We won three gongs the other night for it, but we've just announced season two is coming. If I saw one more tweet from around the world of people going, geez, binge, hurry up. Yeah, we've been waiting. So we've been so excited and, you know, absolutely love the show, but we've just, yeah, been dotting I's and crossing T's and, yeah, getting to a point now that we can announce it, which is awesome. So for anyone that loves Colin, look out for more. Yeah, there'll be more news on that soon. But the other thing I want to talk about is Winning Time. So Winning Time, yeah, season two has just dropped on Binge. And for those that got into this season last year, I think it's just over a year old, 18 months old since we had season one. It's the story of the LA Lakers and their, you know, magic dynasty through the 80s, building themselves from a kind of down on luck club that got bought by, yeah, an entrepreneur and turned into one of the biggest sporting franchises in the world. John C. Reilly stars Quincy Azaia as well, Australian Jason Clarke, Gabby Hoffman. There's like an amazing cast in this, but it also comes and is executive produced by Adam McKay and Will Ferrell. So some really, really cool creatives behind this as well. Season one, yeah, it was kind of well received. It really wasn't as noisy as some other shows are, but I have a feeling, as we often see with season twos of HBO shows, yeah, they kind of catch fire. So what did you think about season one of Winning Time, Johnny? Are you going to be back for more basketball? I know sport's like the number one thing on your...
Well, we talked about, 15 Love and Angel City last week. So we've crossed off tennis, and football, and now basketball.
And I'm watching a game of soccer tonight. So, yeah, absolutely. But anyway, basketball.
Yes, but the one reference that got me to watch season one and will get me back for season two is it's Succession-y. It's got that humor. It's got that behind the scenes world.
Oh, that's the Billboard Succession.
Yeah, Succession.
Basketball.
Yeah. Sports Succession.
And you're learning about characters that you either grew up with them or you've heard about, you know, Magic Johnson, which is the role that Quincy plays. And he's brilliant and tall. And we met him last year when we brought them out to Australia to promote season one. And he does all the basketball in the show himself and has worked really hard on it. So anyway, yeah. I'm really excited. New episodes dropping every Monday for the next little while. Yeah. And I'll be, if you haven't seen season one, have a binge and then get on board with Winning Time. I'm pretty sure you're going to hear a lot of people talking about it.
Basketball's the sport of the decade. You got the kids on the team now. The bus empire's taking off.
We brought home the gold, but one ring ain't going to keep us in that room. We got to keep winning.
This week on Skip Intro, we discussed The Trouble with Kanye, the new UK thriller, The House Across the Street. I recommended that you check out the Lisa Kudrow sitcom, The Comeback. And Ali reminded you of Winning Time Season 2 Return. And of course, Colin from Accounts, many, many Logie wins and Season 2 Renewal. All of these are streaming for you right now on Binge, which of course you can find on your favorite device. I'm John Boehm, joined every week by Ali Herbert Burns. Thank you so much for listening. This podcast was produced by Dan Barrow with audio editing and mixing by Chris Yates. And we'll be back next episode with more Skip Intro.